Prayer. Yes, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this time, Lord. We do thank you for yesterday, Lord. We thank you for the teaching on singing, Lord. Help us to just to have that rejoicing in our hearts, Lord. A song on our lips, a song in our hearts, Lord. Even if we're maybe facing a trial, facing discouragement, Lord, I just pray that your word can fill us with a song. Lord, we also think that we have a new song, Lord. It's because of what you've done on the cross for us. You died on the cross, Lord. You made a way for each one of us, Father. So I just commit this time to you, Lord. I pray for Brother Jason here, Lord, just that you would help him, Father, to have a clear voice, just take a calmness, Lord. Pray against any attacks from the enemy, Father. I pray that you will help him to just to speak of what you have done in his heart, his life, and just to bring the message that you have laid upon his heart here, Lord. I commit this day to you, commit this hour to you, Lord. And I pray that we can, as hearers, that we can just hear what you have for us today. Just commit this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Sounds like you all had a blessed day yesterday, a lot of good teachings and edification, and we hope to continue that here today. The topic I have to consider here is the birth of a song. By faith, we know that Jesus is reigning over all the world. His kingdom cannot be moved. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's a fearless leader who cannot be conquered by any power in the universe. This makes us feel strong and secure. At the same time, we see men falling away and iniquity abounding, love waxing cold, as Jesus prophesied it would be in the last days. Men betraying, deceiving, hating one another. Sometimes it feels like Satan's closing in on us. If we focus on that, that strong and secure feeling goes away. But isn't that the way it was when Jesus was crucified and in the tomb? Things look pretty bleak in the moment, but what a grand victory came out of that trial to the glory of God. I believe we're approaching a time when that victory will happen again, when Jesus returns to take his bride. Lift up your heads, our redemption draweth nigh. The human mind is a marvelous work of creation. Yet it can be very weak and forgetful. It can go up and down so easily. We hear talk about how bad the circumstances are around us, and we're tempted to forget God's promises and to become afraid. Then to act on that emotion. But when we hear hymns of praise and songs of victory, we feel strong. And we wonder why we were ever afraid. Maybe that's why God commands us to sing. Singing of hymns has the ability to establish the spirit of our minds, to soften hearts, to lift us up to God, to bring the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Songs are like the wind. We can't see them, but we can hear them, and we can feel the effects and see the effects of them. What would a church service be like without singing? What would a wedding be like without singing? How could we offer praises to God as a congregation without singing? Singing sets the tone of the atmosphere to worship. I'd like to read a song that David wrote over 2,000 years ago. That maybe points out one value of a song. They're good for millenniums. Notice how the spirit of your mind becomes emboldened as I read it. I'm going to read Psalm 96. You can turn to it if you like. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Do you feel the emotion? Declare his glory, for he cometh. The Lord reigneth. He shall judge the world. Let the heavens rejoice. This is how David felt in his heart. Is that why he was able to go up against the giant without fear? Did he have this song going through his mind when he cast the stones? You can see him with the sling there. The Lord is great. The Lord is great. The Lord is great. This is only one of the songs David wrote. We may read some more later on. Verse 7 said, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due his name. We want to give him the glory due his name. I think with words, we're not really able to do that. God has given us a method to do that in a way that is more memorable, more emphatic, and more effective than just saying the words. By making words rhyme and setting them to music, we can take a phrase of praise and add dynamics, volume, rhythm, pitch, and harmony to work in a way that makes that phrase stick in your mind so you can hardly shake it out. You can't pry it out with a pry bar. It may pop back into your mind some 30 years later, right when God wants to speak to you. Songs can do amazing things. Unfortunately, the wrong kind of song can also get stuck in our mind. 40 years ago, when I was a teenager, and I can still hear it in my mind, there was a song, it was a popular song at the time, Yesterday. Maybe some of you are familiar with it, I don't know. But it's the song of an alcoholic that was glamorizing yesterday as a time when life was good. Now his life is filled with gloom and defeat. If you dwell on that song, you will perish. That the thought pattern will take you into deep despair. The battle is on to drive it out. You know that there's a battle going on for our hearts. There's a spirit world with demons out there that's trying to take charge of your heart. And songs of the world are a tool that they use for that. So the battle is on to drive it out. I think of it somewhat like when we use the rod to drive the folly out of the heart of a child. It takes consistent effort to clear destructive songs from our mind. We choose to stay away from them and from places where they're on the speaker because it so instantly brings back the temptation and the feelings of defeat. Born again Christians have purged their song selection and walk in newness of life. We strive to forget the broken things of yesterday, the things we left behind, and reach forth to the crown of life. Considering the weakness of the human mind, we struggle to always be filled with good thoughts. Romans 8 tells us of the importance of being spiritually minded. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. I'll read a few verses there. Beginning at verse 4, Romans 8 from verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if the Spirit of Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. His Spirit quickens our minds, makes it alive. Our minds are somewhat like batteries. We have high voltage when we're charged up with God's word. But so soon, we can become drained to where the clock stops ticking. That's why we sing at home. We sing at work. We sing in the kitchen. We sing while we wash dishes. We whistle a tune while we walk through the office, while we're working on the job site. Ephesians 5 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to yourselves. This is how we should speak to ourselves. How we feel is largely influenced by what we're saying to ourselves. What is the talk going on in our minds? Let's be singing and making melody in our hearts. Nobody will hear it in our hearts, but they will see it on your face. Colossians 3, Brother Jerry mentioned also, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So this also talks about singing in your heart, but it extends it to others as well. teaching and admonishing one another in songs. I feel now that we're touching on the fundamentals of the birth of a song. It comes from the overflowing desire to teach God's word, to share, to express something that has happened to us. The urge to share, to tell others about it. It's a bit like a kernel of popcorn. It's sitting there in the oil. It's getting hotter and hotter. Pretty soon that water turns to steam, builds up pressure, and poof, it explodes and releases the pressure. Thank God that we have that urge to share about the wonderful love that set us free from the bondage of Egypt, that pulled us up from the miry clay, that cleared our sins as far as the east is from the west, that brought us from death to a life of purpose. We want to tell about it. We have a burden for lost souls to experience the same thing, the power in Jesus' blood to save from sin. And so we seek more and more effective ways to tell this story. I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 40 now, a few verses. You may have heard from this yesterday, I'm not sure. Probably did. Psalm 40, first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And then verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I have preached. I have declared thy salvation. I have not refrained my lips. This is the overflowing desire that motivates poets to pen new songs. I'm going to read one of those here. I came to learn I was a poet. Before I tried, I did not know it. A small investment of my time can tickle ears with words that rhyme. It's really not that hard to do it. A little child can work up to it. Begin with rhymes of simple fashion, then add some feeling, angst, and passion. You'll find reward when, as a servant, your words touch lives to be more fervent and bring to life the wondrous story of Jesus and his unmatched glory. That is the birth of a new song. Songs have an amazing ability to transport us out of our present painful circumstances into peaceful heavenly places. I might try to demonstrate that. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul. You know the song. Did it take you out into the forest? It takes you to a pleasant setting, or you can see it. You want to get a glimpse of God's throne? Come along. That song that Brother Josh picked, it says we don't know where it is. We don't know where it is, but I believe we can get a glimpse of it. Come along, let's do a song. Eternal Father, when to Thee, beyond all worlds by faith I soar. Before Thy boundless majesty, I stand in silence and adore. Did you see it in your mind's eye? Did you see it? If you were with me, you soared right up to God's throne, or the best your imagination can envision what it's like. As seeing Him who is invisible, the book of Hebrews tells us about Moses forsaking Egypt, not fearing Pharaoh's wrath. He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. I believe it's no different for us. When we are tempted to fear, then a song of victory comes into our mind, reminding us of Him who is invisible and of His power. Then we can rest and be lifted up to soar as on eagle's wings and to rejoice with thanksgiving at the work of the Lord. Songs can be prayers. Songs can be God's word. They all work together to lift up our sagging hearts when we sing with understanding. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Read a few verses there about singing with understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Did you get that in verse 2? If there's no understanding, there's no comfort. There's no edification. It's actually a waste of time. Now let's read from verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian to me. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? We feel God's warmth in our hearts when the meaning of the message, the words, speaks to our soul. Amen? That is the lifting, the transporting, the comfort in the understanding. Have you noticed that when you hear a group singing a song that you haven't heard before, it may be good music, but if you can't make out the words, it doesn't really feed the soul? That shows the importance of clear singing of the words so they can be understood. Choir directors call this diction. Enunciating the words clearly allows the song to deliver the value of the message to the listener. Our heritage of spiritual songs You know, we often take for granted the vast, rich heritage that we have of hymns and spiritual songs. I think of it as like a river flowing straight from the crystal spring at the throne of God, and having tributaries that are added from each century into that. Beginning at, as was mentioned, the Last Supper. Don't you wonder what hymn they sang that together there? Sure would be nice to know. What hymn was that they sang? And Paul and Silas in the prison, how it enabled them to be of an attitude that was not gloom or despair for their condition. They were singing. And then into the couple centuries later, Clement of Alexandria, AD 220, wrote a song we have in our hymn book, Shepherd of Tender Youth. On to Ambrose, the Bishop of Milan, AD 374, inspired a lot of songs. But then it skips from there, the Dark Ages, the reign of the Roman Catholic Church. There's kind of a gap there. Skips up to, we have songs from the Anabaptist time period. Michael Sattler, we have two in our hymn book from Michael Sattler in the year 1537. And then Martin Luther in 1529. He took Psalm 46 and turned it into a song called A Mighty Fortress. He also wrote Away in a Manger. Martin Rinkhart, 1636, wrote, Now Thank We All Our God. Right? During the time of the 30 Years' War, things were miserable. And he wrote that song. Then up to John Calvin, 1539. You know, John Calvin, we think of some of his teachings were false, were not correct. But he really had a big influence on history of hymns and hymnody, because at that time they had a strong belief on the insistence of the Bible only. And so they wrote what was called the Psalter. And it was all songs that were from Psalms. They took Psalms and put them to music, and that's all they sang. It was kind of not a good thing to sing anything that wasn't directly from God's Word. And that went on all the way until around 1700, when Isaac Watts came on the scene. We sang one of his songs this morning, Come Ye That Love the Lord, in AD 700. And Isaac Watts wrote over 600 hymns. He's known as the father of English hymnody. He wrote, O God, our help in ages past, when I survey the wondrous cross. And then soon after him was John and Charles Wesley. In 1735, we sang the Charles Wesley song this morning, Charge Keep I Have. He also wrote, O 4,000 tongues, and Christ the Lord is risen today. Then it went from Europe to America, and the American hymn writer started. 1863, Philip P. Bliss and Fanny Crosby, 1873, as you all know, she penned over 8,000 poems. She had a wonderful attitude of her blindness being a gift, and it was. It was a gift to the whole world for a long time. And our purple book has many hymns that were composed in just the past 25 years, new songs. One of the authors, Lucy Martin, wrote lyrics for 8 of those songs, and many of those are based on a psalm. She took a chapter in Psalms and turned it into a song. She also authored a little 20-page book about how to write poetry, and it's published by CLE. That's basically what the training that I've had on poetry was from that. I might take a minute yet to talk about harmony. You know, songs sang in unison, all soprano with the melody, can be inspiring and can communicate the message of the words. But adding harmony brings a whole new dimension of influence that can affect emotions in a positive way. I think of it somewhat as a barn raising. You all know more about that than I do, but I think it's fascinating when a group of men get together with a plan to build. They might have a supervisor, somebody reading the plans, somebody cutting the boards, measuring, somebody carrying the boards up, and somebody else fastening them on, and the women and children bringing drinks and food to them. And before you know it, there's a structure, a building. Working in harmony is a beautiful thing. I think of maybe the supervisors like the conductor of the choir, and the one reading the plans might be the soprano. The person cutting the boards might be the bass, and the people carrying them and fastening on might be the tenor. They all work together in harmony, and makes a beautiful thing. It's a joy to watch those things happening, everybody cooperating. It's a work of God. Sometimes working together has bumps in the road. In music, this is called dissonance. The notes make a slight tension or suspense, and it actually serves to add quality to the song when the distance is resolved. I think that makes the song more valuable. It's like the song of life, you know. We go through valleys and mountains. And sometimes the barn raising might be put on hold for coffee and donuts, and that's maybe like the fermata, where you hold out a note in a song. In closing, I would like to just read through a couple more of David's Psalms, or part of them. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And lastly, Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say with me that his mercy endureth forever. I want to encourage everyone that whenever you're feeling down, think of a song that will encourage your heart and run it through your mind. Sing it in your heart. Lord bless you all.